You cannot understand the gospel because you lack the Greek way of dividing, distinguishing, clarifying. So I'm going to clarify each part of the gospel. The first part is dikaios. The second part is hagios. And the third part is doxa, as in doxology. If you were in a mainline church, you might have a doxology. And you might like sing his praises doxologically. That is, you might glorify God. You might praise God and glorify God. So God does not want you to pretend like you're glorifying him through your own holiness. Your holiness cannot glorify God. The only thing that can make your works glorious, doxa, is if they're based upon that kind of holiness, hagios, which is based upon dikaios, true righteousness. Or the foundation has to be that you're right with God, not by your own works, but the foundation of your holiness, which produces his glory, has to be based upon his righteousness, which he gives to you by imputation, which then becomes actually righteous, because now you're not producing anything by works, but you're producing something by faith. Therefore, there's glory if you're made right with God through faith rather than right with God through holiness. Your holiness must be based upon your faith, not your faith upon your holiness. But most people rely upon their holiness. They rely upon the fact that they're right with God because they did something or refrained from doing something. I know a lot of Christians feel like, well, I didn't hurt the person. As though just because you didn't hurt the person, you're right with God. That doesn't make you right with God, that you didn't do wrong. Well, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, that doesn't make you right. Because you didn't do wrong is still wrong. Well, but I didn't do wrong. Well, doing has nothing to do with it. Wrong is not doing, whether you do bad or do good. It's not doing at all. Wrong is not believing. So that righteousness that comes by faith produces true holiness in the inner man and true glory in the outer man. So the glory of God then is that glory by which true holiness is based upon true righteousness as your foundation. Now let's draw the contrast. Let us assume that you change this equation and you feel like your works are going to glorify God because you performed or you refrained. I didn't do it. I did do it. But either refraining or performing is not a key. You cannot be right with God because you refrained from doing evil or because you did good in your own eyes. God doesn't like your good, and he doesn't like your not being bad. The fact that you weren't bad is not good. Now, the Greeks could say it in a way that the English can't. It sounds ridiculous when you say it in English. But the Greeks understood that dikaios was an imputed form of righteousness, which meant someone else was righteous on your behalf. And it was just accounted to you as though you were righteous. So, but all of us are so proud by nature that we want to do our own righteousness and get some credit for it. But that's exactly what God doesn't want. That you refrain from doing something evil is not good in the eyes of God. Well, but I didn't do any evil. I didn't talk today in class or anything. Yes, but that's nothing. That is not glorious. Why? Because you performed it. You either didn't do it or did do it, but it was you. But that righteousness that comes by faith means Jesus did it. What he refrained from doing and what he did, that is truly righteous, and that makes you righteous by imputation, since you didn't do it, but someone else did it, but you believed in it. That is the true righteousness that produces the true holiness, which produces the true glory. So any work that you do is not glorious if it wasn't based upon faith that produced that inner holiness, which is based upon that imputed righteousness. So righteousness precedes holiness, precedes glory. Or your own righteousness will not produce glory. The fact that you're holy apart from God means you're unholy. The only way you can be holy and have any holiness is if it's based upon faith. That is, you have to be right to be holy. You cannot be holy in order to be right. You have to be right in order to be holy. And the only way you can be right in order to be holy, that true righteousness that comes not from the works of the law, not from performing, not from refraining from evil or following after good. The only way you can be right is if Jesus refrains from evil and Jesus performs the good. Because his deeds are wrought in God, and they're always glorious. Because his glory was that he's rightly related to God, not that he rightly performs for God. So righteousness is relationship, not performance. You're only right if you're related, not if you perform. We always put performance first. Well, I don't like her because, and it's something she did or didn't do. She talks too much. See, I wish she, if she wouldn't talk so much, I might like her. Well, that's performance. That has nothing to do with relationship. But a parent would say of a child, she's my child. I don't care what she's done, I love her. There's relationship, not performance, and that is how God wants to have everyone rightly related to him. He hates performance when it's not based upon relationship. So much of what we do, much of what we do is hagios of our own making, which God calls unholy. I called it holy. He calls that unholy. Why? Because it wasn't based on relationship. It was based upon performance. So that is called righteousness under the law. Performance-based. You did it out of fear. You did it in order to get a reward. I did it to get something, or I didn't do it to avoid something. In either case, you did it. And you're not rightly related to God because he didn't do it all. Because God likes to do it all. He doesn't like you to do any part of it. So whenever you do something, it can only grow out of the fact that you're related to him, and he's the one that did it because you're related to him. And you didn't do anything. You don't get any credit because you didn't do anything. The doing just came from being with the God that loved you and does everything. And you give him all the credit. You give him all the glory. And there's glory in that. When God gets all the glory, that's glorious. When you get some of the glory, part of the glory, all of the glory, that's not glorious. So glory comes from holiness, which comes from that holiness which is based upon righteousness, which is imputed by faith and not earned by performance. Because holy, his would mean by relationship. Well, it is submission, but you're submitting to his relationship. You're submitting to what he wants you to submit to, which is his finished work. If his work was unfinished, then you could finish it. But since Jesus said it's finished, and since God the Father said it's finished, he finished the creation, Jesus finished redemption, then the Holy Spirit's the only one not finished, and he will only finish the glory and work in the true holiness if it's based upon Jesus' finished work and God the Father's finished work. But if you're finishing what the Father did, then you're God. And if you're finishing what the Son did, then you're God. And if you're finishing what the Holy Spirit is now doing, then you're the Holy Spirit. And so that he will not accept. Because that is one thing you do, that is the sin. The sin is that you did something apart from him. No, it's so accurate. I don't know if you understood what he said, but what he just said is completely 100% accurate. That there's two trees. There's another teaching. We've given teachings on it. But the two trees is exactly what he said. The one is based on my performance. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, yeah, I know what's right and I know what's wrong. Everybody feels like that's the whole point of life, is to learn what's right and wrong. Mom said you can't do that. Mom said you're supposed to do this. Well, then you think you know something, and so on and so forth. But it's the mom says, not so much the do. You know, have a nice relationship with your parent, but don't have a performance-based relationship. Our religion is not performance-based. So we're righteous by faith, whereas the, and I'm not picking on anybody, but the Catholic religion was based upon, I think it's still based upon, works. You're saved by faith. You're holy because you did right and avoided doing wrong. You went to Mass, lit the candle, did whatever you're supposed to do. You didn't smoke and chew and spit on the sidewalk coming in, and you know, so on and so forth. So you're okay. Wrong teaching, evil teaching, satanic teaching, demonic teaching. Why? Because it put weight on you. Then Jesus didn't finish. Then you had to finish what he started, or you did it. Well, then God gets no glory. And your work, even though you lit a candle, has no glory in it. And all religions are based upon that. Every religion in the world is based upon it, including most of Christianity. Certainly all of Judaism. Certainly the Orthodox belief. It's all that I went, I attended. I'm part of the community here, and so on and so forth. No, it has nothing to do with anything. Where's the living relationship with the living God? Then you're right. So you're represented by someone else for the decals. Someone else did it. You didn't did it. You didn't do anything. In fact, that's why you took a counselor, because you needed help. You go to a counselor because you need help. So the one that helped you was, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and then the Lord Jesus Christ in his role, not as Savior, but as Lord, giving you the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit does the last two, and the Lord Jesus does the first one. So if you want to replace those two and be right with God, you will find out your works are not accounted glorious. So you give no glory to God. When he sees your good works, that would be hagios, producing doxa. Then men will give glory to God, because they'll know you didn't do that. But that would have to be based upon true righteousness, not false righteousness. Most churches teach, most religions teach, a false righteousness, a false kind of being right with God. How are you right with God? Don't worry about being holy with God. Are you right with God? Because the only way you could be holy with God is if you were right with God, because you have to have a relationship. So something takes place in you, first of all, by imputation, because you can't produce it. Second of all, by actually working out holiness in you because of the relationship that you meditated upon. So holiness doesn't come by your working. It comes by your meditating on his finished work. The more you meditate on his love, his unconditional love. Why? Because if he doesn't love me, I don't have anything. I can't get there by my good works, because I don't have any. So there's no glory. You only glorify God if you don't work. You only glorify God if you cease from your labors. You only glorify God if you accept the fact that there is no evolution, that God created the world in 7 days, 6 days actually, and it's over. If you add anything more and say it's still going on, then you make God a liar. You cannot add to anything God has done, whether it's natural or whether it's redemptive. And now, you can't add to the work of the Holy Spirit. You're neither the Holy Spirit, nor are you Jesus, nor are you the Father. Therefore, the righteousness that comes from faith in his finished work, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior, produces an actual holiness in you based upon faith in him. I'm meditating on that, which then produces works that are actually coming out of me, because I died by looking at him. The minute I looked at him, there was nothing for me to do, so I'm dead. If I do something, I'm alive. But if I don't do anything, I'm dead. So if all of the juice that produces the grape comes out of not the branch that merely is the conduit, but out of the trunk and the root, then all the glory goes to God, who's the trunk and the root, not the branch. Because you can cut the branch off, and there is no fruit. So what God wants is union. Get that branch united into the trunk, into the stem, into the rootage, into the earth. And then God gets all the glory, and you get none. And since people don't want that, they want to produce the fruit and say, I produced that fruit. So they're looking out here at fruit, whereas you and I are looking back at root. They look at fruit, we look at root. They look at fruit, we look at root. We look where we came from through union. They look of what you're producing for pride, for payment. I didn't do evil today. That means nothing to God. I avoided all evil. Yeah, God hates that. God hates it when you avoid evil. Now, we all think he likes that. Oh, I didn't do anything evil. Well, that's what he hates, because you didn't do it. Then Jesus is nothing. If you didn't do it, then you didn't need Jesus to didn't do it. But Jesus is the one that didn't do it, not you. You don't take the credit. Well, I didn't do it. I did good. I didn't do evil. That's evil. If you did good, that's evil. And if you didn't do evil, that's evil. Because the only thing that's good is righteousness, not holiness. You're not holy. You're not holy by your works. You're holy by being righteous. And you're righteous by faith. Therefore, your works are glorious because you didn't do them. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit did it all. To God be the glory. And that's why men glorify God. When they see a good work coming from you, they know you didn't do it. That's how people know. Well, how did she do that? She's kind of wicked. That is always the amazing thing. I can't believe it's you. Because it isn't. It's the work of Christ. And you can't say the work of the Father. No, the Father finished his work in 6 days. You're not giving God the glory by talking about what he did in 6 days. You're giving God the glory by what he did through Christ Jesus. God was in Christ, reconciling the world that he made in 6 days unto himself. And you are part of that 6 day work. You were on the last day after God made the frogs, caterpillars, and the beetles, and came you. Now, if you want to get credit and glory, you just violated God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So all of your works are worthless. He doesn't want one of your works to survive, and none of them will. Anything you've done, good or bad, tree of knowledge, good, tree of knowledge, evil, doesn't make any difference. All of it's rubbish. What he wants is for Jesus to do all the works. Jesus to get all the glory. Jesus to get all the credit. Jesus to get all the payment. So you must fail. When God tells you to do something, you must say, I didn't do it, I won't do it, and I'm never going to do it. And that he's pleased. I'm going to trust totally in my righteousness coming from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I'll count that. And God says, I like that. You're not going to do anything? No. I'm just going to enter into your finished work. Ah, that is rest. Because when you try to please your mother, you try to please your husband, you try to please your children, you try to please God, you're not going to be able to do it because he wants perfection. Most parents are not pleased with their children just because they're their children. They want them to behave themselves. But children don't behave. I don't know if you've noticed that. They're like church members. But I want wicked people. And thank God I've got them. I want people that do nothing. They're lazy. They're miserable. They talk too much. They're in every way doing wrong. That's the kind of people I want. And I thank God I've got them. I really do. I feel like every one of you qualified beautifully. You didn't do anything for creation. You didn't do anything for redemption. And you're not doing anything to perfect yourself. You're letting God the Father do all the creation, God the Son doing all the redemption, and God the Holy Spirit doing all of your righteousness and your holiness and your glory. And all you're doing is taking. It's exactly what God wants. just the opposite of what everyone teaches and believes. Is this an easy message? Of course not. That's why we're thin. We're thin. Nobody wants to hear the message, but I love it. I would be here enjoying the message. And thank God we have a few people. God doesn't want your works. Your works are not perfect. He only wants perfect works. Any work that you did, and then you put your fingerprint on it, he can smell that right away. Oof, I hate that. Did you put your fingerprints on that? Yeah, he hates that. He can smell a work that you did a mile, I think 2 miles, 2 miles away. In other words, the minute you put any kind of credit on for you, like, hey, God, did you see my fingerprint on that work? I did that. He hates that. Because he said, no, Jesus finished everything. There's nothing more for you to do but take it and give me thanks and praise. Because there's nothing to do. I want you to enter into my finished work. Rest. Now, when you're anxious and worried, that's work. And when you're working and trying to do something to please somebody, that's work. And when you're trying to worship God by lighting a candle, that's work. He hates work. He hates sweat. He likes it when you do nothing. When you fail and you say, God, I failed your creation, but I accept your redemption and I'll let the Holy Spirit perfect me. That's what God likes. So I hope you've caught on to this because it's not normally taught. You can't really understand what I'm saying because it's so clear in English. But it's so hard against your psychology. Your psychology wants to do something to prove that you're worthwhile. But try it. It never, ever, ever, ever works. You've never pleased anybody in your life. Never. Even when they say, well, now that was good. They're putting pressure on you to keep it up. And you can't do it. You have not been a good mother, you've not been a good wife, you've not been a good husband, you've not been a good father, you've not been a good Christian, you've not been a good neighbor, you've not been a good anything. You never were good, you're no good, you'll always be no good. Only God is good. And what he wants from you is nothing. Let him just give you. He's the giver, you're not the giver. You never gave anything to anybody. Whatever you got, he gave. What do you have that wasn't given to you? He gave you creation. He gave you redemption. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you every gift. Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift. Every comes from above. Nothing comes from you. You just simply thank God. That's all. And you're not thanking God because that's a work. You're just thanking God because he did it. He did it all. He did everything in redemption and you did nothing. He did everything in creation and you did nothing. He does everything in perfection and you do nothing. How many can feel the stress when you're trying to please somebody or do something or refrain from doing something? I will not drink or smoke or chew. Even refraining, it's a work. I'm trying not to swear. I'm trying not to yell. I'm trying not to get angry. I'm trying not to be frustrated. I don't care what you're doing, you're working. He hates that. Why aren't you just laughing, smiling, enjoying the Lord? Not as a work, just as a, well, there's nothing to be done because he did it all. He either did it all or he's doing it all. In the case of creation, he did it. In the case of redemption, he did it. But now in the case of your perfection, you're under construction right now. None of you look perfect. You don't feel perfect. You don't act perfect because you aren't perfect yet. You're perfect in imputed righteousness, dikaios. But you're not yet perfect in hagios. And you're not perfect yet in doxa. Does this make sense? I mean, I know it's hard, but I know you've heard it from me from a million gazillion times. And don't worry, if I get down to just one person, I'll still be happy. Because somebody's going to buy this. Someone will get a hold of it and start rejoicing and going, you know what? For the first time in 30 years, I just heard what you said. I just realized what you're saying is true. That's actually what God wanted, is he wanted all the glory. He didn't want us to earn glory. He wanted us to receive glory as a free gift. So the kaios is that Jesus Christ is good, and he kept the law, but you didn't. But he did it for you, just so you could take a free gift. That's a beautiful trustee who has taken something that somebody else had and distributed it to you and didn't take any for himself. That's a good savior. That's a good trustee. A trustee doesn't take anything out of the pot. A trustee leaves it all in for the beneficiary. A trustee doesn't want anything for himself, for herself. A good mother is not someone who says, "Now you kids get out there and work for me today." No, a good mother takes care of their food and their clothing and the milk they need and the comfort and everything. She just does it all. And the little kids just don't even appreciate. They even yell at her and abuse her and so on and so forth. And the mother just keeps going. She just takes the abuse and moves on. You know why? Relationship, not performance. Who wants to be a mother? That would be awful to be a mother. You have to get up in the middle of the night, not just for a week, not just for a month, but you have to get up in the middle of the night 2, 3, 4, 5 times over and over again. When I saw that, I realized, wow, Peg is really something. I wouldn't want to get up. And I learned to sleep through it. When the baby would cry, I just learned to just stay like that exactly. But I remember the first few times, "Peg, somebody's got to get up." "Yeah, you." No, you. "You're the mom, remember? I don't have any of the stuff she needs. You know, you do that part." Well, I found out that she actually would get up, and it's like I wouldn't want that to happen to me. I did not like getting up, taking care of the baby. I mean, first of all, I couldn't produce whatever that little kid needed. But second of all, I didn't know. Why is this baby crying? I didn't know. You know, what does she need? Something. I didn't know how to do it. You see, you have to learn to realize you don't know how to do anything. You have to admit that now that you're an adult, you're actually still a child. That's why Jesus calls us little children. In the eyes of God, you're always a little child. Just like in the eyes of my mom, no matter how old I got, my mom was always older and always thought of me as her boy. You know, she never thought of me as a big adult. Like I tried to tell her in her last few years, "Well, Mom, just relax, let me take over and just run your life and so on." "No, I want to have my own decisions." No, I'm going to do this and you're going to do that." "I'm not." She was stubborn. She wanted to still control things. She didn't want me just to take over and be like the parent, treat her like a little child. I'm telling you, my mom was opinionated. I know none of you are, but my mom was. My mom was so opinionated. I would say, "Well, Mom, you know the food you're eating is not good." "Well, that's your opinion." No, Mom, this is fact. "I don't care. You should not be eating so many cookies. You shouldn't be eating all that candy. You know, if you need to get off the ice cream. You should be eating something really good." "Well, you'll see when you're this age." She would say, and so she wasn't at all submitting to me. "Mom, I'm going to get you on another diet. We're going to eat raw honey, and we'll eat, you know, good bread and so on." "Well, I don't even have teeth." You know, and she just had so many opinions. It was really hard for me to discipline her and to put her under my rule. In fact, I never made it. And so I just threw up my hands. I said, "You know what, Mom? Eat all the cookies you want. Eat all the candy. Eat all the crackers. She had graham crackers, soda crackers, you know, cookies, everything." And she was happy as can be. She was unteachable. Completely loved Jesus, but completely a walking contradiction. She loved Jesus and cookies. Loved Jesus and cookies. I don't know if any of you others are like that. But you see, my mom had one thing down. I don't have to perform. "Yeah, Mom, this is killing you." "Fine. I'm not going to be, you know, doing what you want. I'll do the way I want to do it. If I die, I've already lived 86 years. I think that's plenty." "That's a good point, Mom, but you could live to be 96, 106. "I don't want to." "Well, the way you're going, you won't." You see, but you cannot rule somebody else. And she didn't want to do any work. Hey, mom, all you got to do is get up and turn this on and do this. I don't want to. You just open this cookie box and it's right there. You open up the crackers and they're right there. They're already done, you see. She didn't want to be doing a lot of cooking at the stove and all that stuff, washing dishes, and she just hated that. She liked going straight from bed to chair to table, back to chair, back to bed. You know, that was she didn't like going even into the kitchen except to get more ice cream out of the fridge. That was it. And so, you know, that's the way she wanted to live. Well, you know what I like about my mom? She didn't believe in performance. She believed in relationship. Well, you might be always trying to teach me something or something, and you're probably right, but you know what? Jesus loves me. She had that down. I was trying to get her to behave herself, do a little labor. Mom, it's good for you to get up and walk around. Well, you'd see if you ever get to be my weight and so on. Why not? It's because you eat too much. Just get up and walk around, you know. I do. I get up every day. I do my finger exercises. She had little things that she did. So she had an answer for, my mom had an answer for everything. You could not have a discussion with her and win. Now, I'm pointing something out. Mom was right. That's the way to live. In other words, she was wrong about what she did, but she didn't care. She didn't care if she did it wrong or right. She didn't care if she refrained from evil or did it. She loved Jesus, and she had a relationship with Jesus, so she was right because she totally believed in faith. Well, God loves me. You know, you may be disappointed in me, but God loves me. No, no, I'm not disappointed in you. I'm trying to keep you alive. Well, I'm alive. I'm fine. Well, you're sickish. You can't even come to church anymore because you're too sickish. She didn't care. She knew, and she wrote down every day on her, whatever she was writing on, Jesus loves me. She had that down. You could not make her feel guilty or bad. Get out of here, slew foot, she would say. Old people are stubborn. Has anybody noticed that? Thank God I'm not. So Jesus actually wants us to do nothing. I don't mean physically doing stuff. What I'm talking about is to realize that what we do or don't do is not the issue. It's who you are related to. When you're related to him, he's the one that does it all. So then there's nothing left to be done but enjoy him. And my mom absolutely, without question, had that down. She got that down is, you know, I don't have to do anything. Because her whole life she was miserable because she couldn't perform. She was miserable because she couldn't please her mother. She couldn't, you know. So she was agoraphobic, didn't want to leave the house, didn't want to go out into the agora, out somewhere. She just was a recluse, staying in her own house, feeling miserable, sick and all that stuff. But once she met Jesus, she fell in love with Jesus and didn't, you know, no longer was worried about people. Well, that's their problem, she would say. That's great. I love that attitude. I love that attitude. I love that attitude. But Peg will tell you, we could not make mom behave. Is that true, mom? That's another mom. Yeah, see? Peg couldn't make her behave either. Peg, could you come over and get the light bulb up in my new thing? You know, and she could sound pathetic like that. How she could get that pathetic voice. Could you please come over? Yeah, you know, then when you actually did it, she was cheerful and, oh, good to have you, and so on. She could talk in her normal voice, but she knew how to change her voice like that. Peg, I'm feeling kind of weak right now. Could you come over and spend an hour or two here? That's great. She was into relationships. She wasn't into performance. But then once Judy, if Judy would call, if she'd, you know, Peg, I can barely make it, and so on, then Judy would call. Oh, hi, Judy. Yeah, she'd be fine. Yeah, I don't know how she could do that. That was tricky. Judy, did you know you did that? Yeah, she'd just really be cheerful. Yeah, she's always cheerful. She liked you. She didn't like us. No, she loved us. She just didn't want to be manipulated into doing anything. She knew that God created her, Jesus redeemed her, and the Holy Spirit was perfecting her. So she wasn't working at that. Do you all understand? She would just celebrate every day his love. That's how you grow. That's actually how you're changed. Was she perfected? No. That's finished when the trump blows. How many know that that's not going to be finished in this world? Nobody here is going to be finished perfected in this world. You're being perfected. You're growing in hagios, the second one. You're growing in doxa, the outer glory. Doxa is always outer. Hagios is always inner. And dikaios, the top one, number one, that's always inner, in your spirit, man. So you are made righteous by a relationship and not by a performance. As a matter of fact, you must be a bad performer. If you're not a bad performer under number one, and Jesus isn't the only good performer that you know, then you are not right with God. You have to be a sinner. You have to be. I thank God that, Nick, you've become a good sinner. Yeah, you can learn a lot from Judy, if you could learn from Judy.
For sure.
Because you're teaching him, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, bringing out his wicked side. And people will do that. I don't know if any of you are related to people. But if you're related to people, they can help to bring out your bad side. Especially intimate people that are close to you, they will bring out your worst character. It's very hard to maintain your innocence and purity and so on in the face of relatives. You see, I mean, when you're around people that are close to you, they know you. They can read right through you. See? So it's hard for you to keep up your reputation there. But strangers don't know you that well. Now, what God wants is for you to fail his law so he can just give it to you. In other words, what you would have gotten had you kept the law, he will give to you even though you didn't keep the law, just because you believe he kept the law for you. What you couldn't get, let's say you had behaved yourself and you were perfect like Jesus, and you would have gotten a reward for that. Jesus did. Jesus did everything. He said, I always do what pleases the Father. Always. Whatever he wants, I do his will. I never do my will. Well, he got a reward for that. But he said, oh, I didn't get it for me. I got it for my sister here. I got it for my sister here. I got it for my brother here. And he never did it for himself. He never did anything for himself. He did everything for you. So you can't do anything because he already did everything that you were supposed to do. Whatever you didn't do. Sometimes an older brother or sister will take a younger brother or sister, and the young kid will try to say something or do something, and the older one will do it for him. What he just said, was he wanted to see his bottle. Oh, okay. And that other brother could kind of interpret that little kid and say, what he's saying is he wants his bottle. Well, he just said, kabagabo, or whatever he says, you know. And the little kid will know what it is. I don't know what it is. Even the parent has no idea. You look at the parent and say, what was he saying? Kabuba, you know, whatever they say. And the other kid will know exactly what it is. He wants his bottle. Because they love each other. They know each other. They have a relationship. The performance doesn't matter. The words don't make any difference. When you're related to someone and you love them, you don't care what they do or say. You're not basing it on performance. Y'all understand? So Jesus did everything for you. He interprets you always to say, oh, he wants a blessing right now here. Oh, what she wants is a blessing. Even though we do it wrong, we say it wrong, we get it wrong, it doesn't matter. Jesus will interpret everything in your favor. Here, I did it for her. I did it. Well, who made this bed? You know, and sometimes the older brother or sister will make it for the little kid because they want him to come out and play or whatever and say, did you really make this bed? I said you had to make it. You know, and they're just lying because someone else made it for them. That's what God loves. He loves that. He loves that. Who did the kids' science projects? You know, who, you know, I mean, you're doing it for the child. Who painted that little picture they painted and wrote their name on, but you actually held their hand and did it? They take the credit. Jesus does it all, and he doesn't want you to do anything, and he loves it when you put it up on their fridge, and he said, Dad, look what I just did. That's great. Little kids are proud of that, but they didn't do anything. The little kids just feel that just because they're in the family, they're important. All you have to do is be related to him in the family, and it's over. As soon as Jesus gets in your boat, it's done. This is the Jewish problem to this day, is they're still trying to please God. It'll never happen. They're still trying to be decent. It'll never happen. They're still trying to be righteous. It'll never happen. You can't be righteous under the law. You must fail the law. You must not succeed. The Jewish people are having a Dickens of a time right now because they got their own land finally in 1948, and they made it into a beautiful garden. Tomatoes. Oh, I'm telling you, the tomatoes they produce are beautiful. Europe loves their tomatoes. Oranges from the Sharon Valley. Whew, beautiful. Grapefruit out of Jericho. Whew, big, huge, delicious. So they've produced a garden, but they can't get along with their neighbors. That's a problem right there. You can produce a tomato, but you can't get along with your neighbor. So they failed. That's why they're going to be pushed into the sea, because people hate them. But what do? Because they're still proud. They're still wanting to perform. It's not going to work. Now, the Muslims are just as crazy. They feel they're going to take over, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And they're the crazy people. But everybody's crazy who imagines you're going to please God by something you've done or not do. Refrain from doing wrong or do the right, you're crazy. You can't do either. How many have a bad habit and you can't get rid of it? You know, I have a habit of speaking when I shouldn't. I have a habit of, you know, eating too much of this. I have a habit of talking when I, you know, and so on. You cannot stop habits. Even if you did, it'd be legalistic. It would not be doxa. There'd be no glory in it. God would not be pleased. Even though you don't actually do the bad thing, it's still bad because it wasn't wrought by God. Everything God demands, he supplies. Everything God demands, he supplies. If he demands something of you, he is the only one that can supply. Yeah, but he asked me to do it. Yeah, but that you should say, I can't. I didn't. I won't. That's what you should say, not, okay, I'll try. Most of us are triers. Most of us are continually trying. Well, I'll try. He doesn't want you to try. He wants you to be perfect. And can you? No contest. Nobody's perfect. So your holiness has to be based on your righteousness, and that brings glory. So the glory of God is that holiness that is based upon a right relationship where you didn't do a thing, but it came by faith. There is no glory when my holiness was produced by me, but it was not based upon a relationship with him who did it for me. What does God want? No performance, all relationship. He wants Jesus to do all the performing and you none of it. He wants you just to take a free gift. Little children, just be like a child. Except you enter the kingdom of heaven like a little child. What do little childs do? Nothing. Their parents pick out their clothes. Their parents tell them when to go to bed. Their parents tell them what to watch. Their parents do everything. That's a perfect child. If the parent does everything, the parent doesn't want them to do anything. Mom, could I carry these china dishes to the sink and maybe get them washed? No! Don't leave it, just leave it right there. I want to help. Oh, sorry, Mom, I'll get this other one. No, don't carry them. Because little kids always want to help out. But the fact that they're a little kid means don't work, go play, go and play. Go out in the backyard, go into your room, play. Because little kids need constant attention. They can't do anything on their own. Whatever they do, they're going to get in trouble. When they're quiet in their room, you know something's wrong. You have to go back and check them out. And when you open the door, their eyes go like this. You know, they're just like, oh, you know, because they were doing something. Because, you know, when they're not making a lot of noise, you know there's probably something going on. When they're fussing and fighting and so on, you know, they're pretty normal. But when they're quiet, uh-oh, you better check it out. Now, I just want you to know right now, you have not caught on to the gospel until you know you're loved for not performing. You're not love for performing. You're love because you take a love relationship without any basis whatsoever except His mercy and grace. You should be loved for no reason. You should not be loved because you're worth loving. You're not worthy of being loved. Don't ever be worthy of being loved. Don't please anybody. Don't do anything to make people love you, because they'll lie. They don't love you at all. They don't want to pay you a wage either. They don't want you, they don't want to appreciate you. The only reason they'll appreciate you is if you don't want the appreciation. It's like, I just wanted to do that for you. My mom was always doing stuff for us. She was always buying peanuts for me because she felt I liked peanuts. And that's great, because she would have 10, 15 cans of them. Mom, what is this? Well, take some, as many as you want. Well, you got about 15 here, Well, she found them on sale somewhere, and so she just bought a ton of them because she knows I like peanuts. She couldn't think of what else to do, so she'd buy me peanuts. That's a good parent. But I couldn't eat all those peanuts. Mom, I don't like pecan sandies anymore. I mean, I do, but I don't think I should be eating them. So don't buy them for me. But you just buy packages and packages of them. Jim will love this. See, the parent's always thinking about the child. And she loved doing that kind of thing. In fact, if you were a friend of hers, she bought you stuff. I know she did. Her house is loaded with stuff. And, whatever she thought, if the mailman said he liked something, otherwise, like root beer or something, she'd have a root beer for him. I don't care who it was, she knew everybody's favorite whatever it was. And she'd get that for you. And, that was the way she was. That's a typical parent that likes to do that. God is your parent. Abba, Father. Abba, Abba. In Israel, I don't know if you heard this, Dolores, but in Israel, the little children, when they see their daddy coming up to drive or whatever, Abba! They cry out, Abba. It doesn't mean father. It means daddy. It's an intimate word, not a respectful kind of word. It's not. There's no respect in it at all. It's just, Dad, Dad. And they're excited to see their dad. It's a relationship. It's not a performance. Hey, I did this today or I did that today. All they want is the relationship. They use the performance only to get the relationship. With God, you can't do any performance because Jesus did it all. You can't give Him anything. Just give Him praise. Just give Him praise for, why? Because every day, every minute of every second of every day, He's doing something for you. He's either created you or redeemed you or saved you or salvaged you or perfected you or whatever. He just wants all the thanks. Amen? So, the teaching today is simple. The glory of God is not that glory which comes from your holiness. It is that glory by which, because you are holy based on right, being rightly related to God through faith. So your holiness is built upon your righteousness through faith and not through works of the law. You cannot perform to be holy. You can only be holy and then perform. And why are your works glorious? Why are they full of doxa? Because you produce that work based upon your relationship with Jesus. In other words, the more time you spend with Jesus, you'll just find you do what your parent does. Whoever you're hanging around with, you will eventually just be like them. So you want to be careful who you hang around with. Because if you hang around with the wrong kind of people, you'll end up talking like them, walking like them, dressing like them, doing the same things they do and so on. So you want to, you don't want your children to have the wrong kind of friends because they'll become like them. And that's why today in the clothing industry, which is just out for money, they will pick new kind of things so they can sell more stuff. They're not just trying to give you some clothing to cover the body. They're selling something, rebellion or something. They're and so the baggy pants now and all that stuff, they're selling something. They get more money from that than they do. We used to get blue jeans and they were just, $8 or something. Didn't cost a lot. Just in Sears Roebuck, you just bought them. And they said Wrangler or something on them and Lee or whatever. But now the kids have to have the designer jeans, and they got holes in their knee. I mean, they're already the thing we threw away. And they're paying $75 or whatever they pay for them. And it's like, it doesn't make any sense to me. Why don't you just, remember when Margaret said, Dad, I would like to get, you know, number 6, 501 classic cut jeans or whatever. So, well, how much do they cost? Well, 50 or whatever it was. And I said, well, you can get, for $12, you can get 3 or 4 of those. I'll get you something. No, Dad. It has to be the classic 6, 501-3 thing or whatever the one thing was. And I said, well, that's stupid. That makes sense. It's just the same material. Dad, we can't wear that. We got to wear these. No, you don't. You don't. So I remember, and not only that, she even told me what store to get it in. You don't go to that. I've already talked to Alice. You go to see Alice. She knows what I want. She never let me pick out after that because she knew Dad would get her something else that I thought was better, just as good, and it didn't cost anything. I got it in a garage sale, whatever. She didn't want that. She knew what she wanted. Margaret, this thing looked like it was faded. Exactly. But the legs were torn at the bottom. Good. So, God doesn't want you to perform. He just wants you to know that His glory comes from the fact that He does it all, gives you a gift, enters into a relationship, and you're made holy because of that relationship. And that holiness is so pleasing in His sight that it glorifies God. Because you didn't do it. He did it. I hope you're blessed today. I hope you understood the truth here. Is that righteousness produces holiness. Holiness does not produce righteousness. Your holiness will never make you right with God. His holiness given to you is what makes you right with God. Take it. And that will produce all the holiness you'll ever need. And that'll glorify God. Because He knows that kind of holiness and that kind of righteousness had nothing to do with you. And that kind of glory is all God's. But it glorifies God. So now, your works glorify God because it wasn't yours. It was His from the beginning. He did the righteousness, He did the holiness, and He did the glory. I just took it. Now, I don't know if any of you could turn what I said today into practical something for your own life. If you knew how to translate what I said, not a bunch of concepts and words, but if you knew how to change it into your life to say, you know what, I'm going to stop pleasing people. I'm not going to please God anymore. I'm not going to try to be decent. I'm not going to try to stop doing wrong or start doing right. I'm just going to accept the fact that Jesus loves me, and I'm going to celebrate that and enjoy that every second of my life. That would be hard to do. If you've been trained to be righteous and good, you cannot let go of that fact that I think God likes me because I did the right thing or I avoided doing wrong things. It's not why He likes you. He likes you because Jesus did the right thing and He avoided the wrong things. That, if you take that relationship will transform you. But performance will not. Performance will make you a hypocrite and a liar and get no glory to God. But relationship gives you everything. Yeah.
Actually, when you think about it, performance and sweat are part of the curse that God put on mankind.
Powerful. Powerful insight. That's why entering into His rest means entering into the finished, completed work that you cannot add to or subtract from. That's the very first story in the Bible. And if you'll realize it, the very first story is the last story. The only thing He's ever been wanting you to do is rest. Enter in, labor to enter in to His rest. Work hard to not do anything. That's what He's saying. It's a contradiction to the flesh, but not to the spirit. Don't do a thing because it's all been done. Give God the glory. He did the creation. He did the redemption. And now He's doing and will soon be done with your perfection. But what is your perfection? That's the part where He doesn't do it. God created the world. Jesus redeemed you. Now this is the part you're cooperating by what? Doing nothing. Just give Him the praise. All He's wanted from you is just give Him the praise. Father, I love you. Thank you. You just do everything. That's all He wants to hear from you. Not, Father, I did this for you. What do you think of this? He doesn't like it. He doesn't want you to do anything. So, could you translate that into your own life at home? To your own life today? You know, it isn't that you're not going to physically do things, it's that you're not going to take that seriously. Whatever you do should be wrought in God so that it gives glory to God, which comes out of your real holiness, which is actual. You're actually becoming like Him. Why? Because you spent time with Him in relationship. Dikaios produces hagios, produces doxa. Or doxa is the result of the hagios, which the Holy Spirit wrought, which comes from the relationship that He did on your behalf. You didn't have anything to do with any of it. You just simply believed it and took it. And God did it all, and God gets all the glory. In the end, God will get all the glory. Because you're not putting your fingerprint on and saying, well, I did a little bit. No, you didn't. You didn't do any of it. He did it all. So don't worry or sweat that you worried and sweat or that you took credit. Just don't worry about it.
Because pride. I mean, I battle with pride every day.
Right. So don't. So don't worry. Don't battle. Now, when you battle, don't battle over the battling. Do you hear the difference? See, I'm taking the word, I battled over it. Well, then don't battle over the fact that you battled. Just enjoy the battle. Well, I battled. It was wrong. But praise God. So, you know, at some point you got to stop it. Because otherwise you'll battle over the fact that you battled over the fact that you battled. You see? And it'll just lock in. See, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper. You're just making it all the harder. So then at some point, just cut it off and say, but I'm not going to battle over the fact that I battled over the fact that I battled over the fact that I battled over the fact. At some point, stop it by saying, you know what? This is all God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not really a good person. But on the other hand, I don't need to be. But on the other hand, you love me. And you just keep going like that until you get free. It's powerful. See, God loves you. Your brother will never love you if it's based on performance. Because you never... Right. So you're never going to please Him in a million years. Until He decides to let you know, you don't have to do a thing. I love you just the way you are. He doesn't know that, so He's not going to let you know that because He doesn't know it Himself. But someday, well, it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. He Himself is insecure. And He's under performance. That's why He wants you to perform so that you'll misperform, as you just said, so He can judge you. But you know what? That's work on His part. So set Him free and just say, atheist brother, just know this. I'm no good. I'm worse than you are. Hallelujah. You know, set him free from his misery to have to give you a test every day. But you did fool him for at least 35 days. We got even with him. The old atheism was losing ground. 35-day loss on his part. Now his stock is going up again. Just relax. Jesus has done it all. Perfect brother, perfect mother, perfect father, perfect everything. In other words, God knows what He's doing. Just relax. Love yourself. Love yourself. 99.999 people don't. So if you can get a hold of that, it's because you don't have to perform. Love yourself. He loves you. He doesn't have to. He wants to. Doesn't have to. There's no law that makes Him. Under law, He has to kill you, destroy you. But He's not going to do it because He likes you. So He's not going to do it. Under the law, you could get the what you deserve, but He's not going to do it. He gave Jesus what you deserve, so that's over. If He ever now gave you what you deserve, He'd be violating His own law. Because He already chose. He already made up His mind. In heaven, you don't make up your mind twice. You just do it once and it's over. He already made up His mind. I will punish Jesus for everything TK didn't do. So your brother's bawling out the wrong person. Jesus already paid for that. I already got my spanking. You're just wasting time, brother. If you're an atheist, you're sure a waster of time atheist. You're working awfully hard at it. Just relax. I've already been paid. You know, my sins are already forgiven and forgotten. You're holding them. You're worse than the God that you don't believe in. Because it's hard to judge people. I mean, because then you got to lie to yourself that you're not worse than that person is, and you're just wasting a lot of time just to... you want to be distracted from your own failure. And that's rest. That's the entering into the rest. Just enter into the shalom. Shalom means total whatever it was supposed to be. It isn't just cessation of bad. It's actually everything God ever intended is shalom. That's why the Jews never say, we had a perfect Sabbath. They say, Shabbat shalom. You know, they're wanting a peaceful Sabbath. But they never have one, ever. And they know it. So it's always said with a little undertone of, well, you know, not quite here yet. But, you know, it was a good one. Shabbat shalom. But there's always a little reluctance to say, Shabbat shalom, l'chaim, you know. It's more like there's a little sad, there's always a minor note in all Jewish music. Because they're always aware, you know, it's not really so straightforward like everything's fine. You know, there's a little problem here and there, but that's the way it goes. And so they always have that dialectic inside of themselves that we're like Jerry, a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction. Everybody's got like that. Everybody is like that. I'm a Christian on the one hand, on the other hand, I'm a scoundrel. How can you hold those two together? We all do. You know, in your head, you can't, but in your life, you do. And why get under stress over that? So what? Jesus doesn't love me because of my performance. He loves me because of my faith in his performance. He's perfect. Yeah. You notice most people don't circumcise themselves. Think about it. I mean, most people don't. So it's normally done by someone else to remove your flesh. So let God do it. Let God do the cutting. Let God circumcise. Let him make a circle around that which is hurting you, surrounding you. Let him take away the safety, the covering. Because that skin is a safety or a covering. Okay? It's protecting the sperm. It's protecting the member that's regenerative. But God cuts that away so you're vulnerable. Now you're naked. And now you have to have someone else. See? Forget the health aspects. It's something to do with the fact that your flesh cannot produce anything. The flesh doesn't produce anything. But I hate being vulnerable. I hate being naked. I hate being weak. But that's what God wants you, always in a weakened condition. Praise God, we're very good at that. We're very good at always lying about how strong we are, but actually, we're always weak. We're just not able to refrain from the bad stuff and perform all the good stuff. We just are weak. So stay that way. So, yes, healing is the fulfillment of the law, whereas circumcision is only a sixth-day operation. Jesus did a seventh day on the sixth day. He joined the two together. In other words, he fulfilled the Sabbath by the seventh day, whereas they were only cutting away, trying to refrain from, get rid of. But that's not enough. That's just a negative, because the law says, don't speed. It doesn't tell you what speed to go, just don't go over this speed. But it doesn't tell you what actually to do, because it's not a positive, it's a negative. But healing someone, that's positive. Actually made the man whole, complete, finished. That's a work of God. That is not a six-day man work. We can do the circumcision, but only God can circumcise the heart. Only God. Can't circumcise your heart. Jews have never been able to do with it. Why? Because no one can do it. They can't do it either. There's no advantage. What's the advantage of being a Jew? Well, there's none. Not along that line. There are other advantages because they were given the promises and so on and so forth. All right. I hope you're blessed. You're not made righteous by being holy. You're made holy by being righteous. That's the glory of God. Glory is produced because performance does not produce acceptance. Rather, your acceptance produces your holiness, which is his glory, because then you didn't do that. Because it was all done by the relationship. Apart from me, you can do nothing. With me, you can do all things. There it is. There's a secret right there. I can't do anything. I can't glorify God. You can do nothing. There's no glory in anything I do. It's all vanity. It's all worthless. It's all nothing. It's all fruitless. But once you become a believer in relationship with, excuse me, with Jesus, boom, all of a sudden the works you do, they're no longer you. You didn't take care of your mother. Jesus did. And all you have to say to your brother is, brother, I didn't really do any of that. Jesus did that. He just told me to do it and I did it. That will stop him. Like, because you're not taking credit. You're not vaunting yourself over him. He knows what a loser you are, so you don't want to vaunt yourself over. But what you do is you put him in his place by saying, you know what, I didn't even do that. I didn't want to do it. It's just that I felt the Lord told me to do it, and I trusted him, so I did it. that glorifies God. And that would shut him up because you're not taking any credit. You're saying, well, I personally didn't want to do it. But I'm certain the Lord wanted me to do it, so I just did it for his sake. And I believe it helped Mom, but I didn't do anything. I didn't take any pride for that. And even though you did, you just tell your brother, I didn't. Because even though I did, I saw that was wrong. So it didn't count. Yeah. Well, you could make a little certificate for the 35 day, you know. Did you really? Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. What a blessing. Yeah, that's a blessing. Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Heavy. It's heavy. Yeah. No, she can't receive it. All those things. Because it's freedom. But here's the beauty. Even though she left because she heard it. She didn't left because she didn't hear it. She left because she heard it and didn't like it. Because her whole life is a people pleaser. She's always served. She's always pleased. You know, she's under a great burden, a great weight. And happiness is the scariest thing on earth. Anybody who's a worker cannot ever permit themselves to be happy, to be free. You cannot. Because it's frightening to be not frightened. It's not frightening to be frightened. It's frightening to be not frightened. To be like a child, to be free, to be out from burdens. Ooh, that's scary. So she's not ready yet to receive it. That doesn't mean she didn't. She heard it. Yeah, right. I'm going to go to another place. But it's not just a Jewish thing. It's a human thing. All humans are the same. But the Jews have made it into a religion, you know, a strong religion. And it comes down through the blood. It comes down through the culture. You know, you've got to do something. You've got to perform. You've got to prove that you're not nobody. You prove that God chose you for a reason. Because you do things. You're responsible. You're reliable. You contribute to humanity and so on. So that is inbred so strongly that you can't give it up. But you know what? The Holy Spirit can. So as she actually heard, she just didn't like it. But who didn't like it? Her spirit or her flesh? It's her flesh. So that's okay. She'll go to bed and think about it. She'll be all day long thinking about it. It disturbed her. And that's a good thing. I mean, we don't want her to be disturbed, but in this case, it's good because she has to think about it, because she's not just going to kind of like evolve into Christianity or, you know, try a new deal. It's going to have to be a terror to her. No one enters the kingdom of God except by violence. And as far as she's concerned, she's already got it. She's further along than others. Now she's been told she worked in vain. Who wants to hear that? That puts a lot of labor inside of her. No. She's going to have to defend it. But the truth is, she actually heard, which is very powerful. It's very powerful. It's a blessing. Of course, I thank God because you're not working now. You'll have plenty of time to discuss that all with her. Because it's your story. You've actually been getting freer and freer and freer not to perform, not to have to perform, to perform because you want to rather than because you have to. That's hard. From your background, that is impossible. That's a miracle that's been done in your life because of knowing that God loves me, knowing that it isn't my idea. God wants me free. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. And all of Israel will receive this message, by the way. Israel is going to be the recipient of that message, and they'll teach it better than we've ever taught it because they worked so hard all these years. When they get free, they're going to know, wow, we messed up on that. And they will be stronger advocates than I've ever said. You know, for me to say it is easy. For someone inside the Jewish tradition to say that, it'll be strong. She might even be the one. You never know. Well, if you ever get a hold of this, whoo. We set you free. She couldn't refute one thing that I said. There's no way you could refute it from the Old or New Testament. But it didn't accord with her tradition. But it did accord with the scripture. And all the examples we gave of little children and so on, she knows all those are true. So she's wrestling inside of herself. She wasn't wrestling with me. She's wrestling with herself. She's wrestling with Moses. Or let me put it even better. She's not wrestling with Moses. She's wrestling with reading Moses through Abraham, not through Jesus. Reading him through Abraham. But that's what's tough, is Moses is not the lawgiver performer guy. Don't do this, do this. It's Abraham that's the scandal. Because he had it down that you do nothing. God does it all. And Abraham had a unilateral relationship with God where he did everything. I will make you great. I will bless those that curse you. I will do this. I will do that. I will do this. I will do that. Seven times, God, I willed. That means seven promises, seven obligations, seven parts of that covenant. Where was Abraham's part? You know, like, where does the other shoe drop? It never dropped. He never said, now you have to do something. What he did say was, I want you to be perfect. But then that's defined very clearly. In other words, you look at, well, what is perfect? What is it? Stick to faith alone. Perfect is not do something. It's just walk in this. Don't let this go. Keep your confidence that I will do it. I will do it. And that's why he's called the father of faith, not the father of works. He's not the father of works. Think of all his works. He took his family with him when God said go alone. Then he kept his nephew, you know, and so on. He did everything you weren't supposed to do. Took his wife down and lied about her. And, you know, he did everything. He did all kinds of crazy things. It didn't matter. He never lost his faith. Jerry Baldridge, that's one thing about Jerry. He didn't do right. I know he messed up all over the map. But he wouldn't lose his faith. I'm doing this for Edie and the kids, and he never forgot that. That's why I'm going to do what I'm doing. But that didn't mean he wouldn't do bad things along the road and do all kinds of things that are contradictory to what he just said he was going to do. So which one is true? I say he never let go of the vision, but he never his life actually contradicted what he believed in. That's all of us, is it not? And he wasn't perfected. He barely got in the door. But he saw something that set him free, made him dance and laugh and sing, even while he's contradicting himself through his actions. We're all like that. That's why a lot of our works don't glorify God. A lot of what he did doesn't glorify God. But it isn't based on my works, hagios, or doxa. It's based upon dikaios. It's based on my relationship. Hey, you know one thing? I may not have performed well, but I'll tell you what. He did. And I'm not letting go of that. He loves me. And he loves her. He loves her. That's why he brought her to hear the truth. And even though she's fighting for generations, you know. But she'll get free. You can't hear the truth and it not sink in. She wants that freedom, just doesn't know it's possible. I'm telling you, it scared me the first time to be happy in this world. No way. No way. Once you've developed a defensive attitude toward life to protect yourself, you don't want to be vulnerable. You will not. I mean, it didn't scare me to be scared. What scared me is not to be scared. You know, that's scary. To be happy all the time. No, I'm not going to do it. No way. Not in this world. If things were fixed up, maybe. But not in this world. You know, and so nobody in this world wants to be happy. Everybody's looking for it, but nobody's finding it. Comes as a gift. It's just a gift. It's not a work. All right, I hope you're blessed today. Three words, dikaios, that means imputed righteousness, not one that you did. And that's the base, that's the foundation of everything. Everything's going to come out of that. Then hagios, that's actually you being changed on the inside, not on the outside. And then doxa, that's on the outside, your behavior, the part everyone sees. Nobody sees your faith and nobody sees your character. They don't see that. They see the fruit of your faith and of your character. They don't see the actual character itself. They don't know whether you're genuine or not. What they see is the fruit. And when they see that, they know that's not you. That's God. That's different. That's not of this world. That's everlasting. I'll tell you, that's dramatic. Now, she didn't see a sign or a wonder today, so she'll still have room for doubt. But there will be signs and wonders following, because God loves her. And someday she'll remember, there was that crazy person. So on. They remember. I tell you, when you get in trouble, truth comes back. But as long as you can make it without it, as long as you can get along in the community, blah, 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 well, you're not going to do it. I wouldn't do it. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. You wouldn't do it either. But there comes a point in your life when you realize terror is so great, the agony is so much, I've got to decide something. Is God good or not? Does he love me or not? So the Old Testament God is not a mean God at all. He's not an angry judge at all. He's a loving father, has been from the beginning of the world. We didn't see him in Jesus. We saw him in Abraham. We saw him in Adam. We saw him in Noah. We saw him in Moses. Always a loving father. Always been and always will be. No other religion has known that. That was Judaism's treasure, that our God loves us. That's why they always say, let Israel say, God is good. God is great. Let God be magnified. You know, their faith is different than Muslim. It's different than Buddha, Hindu. Christianity is nothing more than just a form of Judaism that got that. They found that secret. That underneath that stern thunder was this beautiful, soft, loving father who didn't want you to bear any burdens. Boy, when he came down with that thunder, I thought he wanted me to do something. Man, right away I wanted to do something like hide or run or do something. I didn't want to just sit there and have the lightning. I just felt I should do something. And it was just the opposite. God wanted to use all that to scare you so much you wouldn't do anything. Paralyze you. You know, you just got of frozen, like, man, I should be thinking of something or doing something or deciding something. Don't do a thing. But they didn't know yet about the fullness. Abraham did. Abraham had it. We're not going forward to Jesus. We're going back to Abraham. We're not going forward to Jesus. Jesus just went back to Abraham. Jesus did not add anything to Abraham. The only reason he fulfilled the old covenant, that's not, by the way, Abraham. The old covenant is the Mosaic covenant, not the Abrahamic. The Abrahamic is even before. The gospel is even before the law. That's why it's after the law, because it was before the law. Amen? But Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. If you'd believed Moses, you would have believed me. Israel's problem is with Moses, and her real problem is with Abraham. Those are her founding fathers. But she will return. Not to Yeshua. Yeshua is way late in the game. She will return to Abraham. Her faith will once more go back to the original covenant where God says, I will. And they will rely. God, you said you will, no matter what we didn't do or did do. And then Israel will know for sure, wow, we even killed your boy and it didn't tick you off. I thought you were for sure give us a good whooping. And then you did whoop us. So I thought for sure that was because of that. No, it wasn't. That wasn't that. No, I give that to Jesus. I wasn't whooping you. I was just trying to chasten you so you'd pay attention. So he could show you how much I love you. Remember when he jumped up again and he said, forgive them? Remember that? Remember when he came back? He wasn't mad at you. Never been mad at you. Boy, I tell you, when you see that about your own parents, when you see that about God, you're set free. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word today, the word that sets us free. An awful word to our flesh, but a wonderful word to our spirit. Thank you, Lord, that the same fire that burns the flesh is the same fire that purifies the soul. Thank you, Lord, that this word which breaks in pieces is also the word that makes whole. And so we give you the praise and the glory. Let us celebrate today your goodness and cease from our labors. Let us know that the holiness that is based upon righteousness is the true glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.